560 KPQ. This is the agenda from News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern affecting you are open for discussion. And now your host, Michael Knight.
Degrees outside our studios here in Wenatchee Town. Good afternoon to you. 12:15, time for the agenda. Consider this. The most contentious political campaign locally is one that you already know about if you have a television or radio or any sort of a media person. It pits our guest today, the veteran political figure Dino Rossi, against the rookie upstart candidate Dr. Kim Schreier for the 8th District Congressional seat. They're fighting for a seat. And thusly, we all get to enjoy the advertising onslaught that has been financed by, according to both parties, dirty money, dark money, oppositional money, tough money, crazy money, targeted money, extra media money, madcap money, money for half-truths, money for no truth, money to alert the voters, money to depress the voters, money to confuse the voters, money to defuse the voters, money to anger the voters, money to mobilize the voters, money to pay for postage when sending pipe bombs through the mail, money to focus talking points for the hate-based media personalities, money for any nefarious, odious, vile, dark purpose to take the luster off our once shining example of democracy, and the power and the majesty of one dude, one vote. Tis the season to vote. So congratulate yourself. You've made it this far, and then move on if you can. We are busy modern Americans with plenty of reasons to be concerned with what was once called our society. We'll address that now in our interview with Dino Rossi. The action starts in just 30 seconds.
Bob Brinker's Land of Critical Mass exists to get you to a place in your life where money's no longer a concern. Sundays, 1 to 4 p.m. on News Radio 560 KPQ.
Guess what, folks? It's back. Buck up beer and dollar dogs, doo-dah, doo-dah. All this season, when the Wenatchee Wild play a home game on a Wednesday, fans get hot dogs, Rolling Rock beers, and or Pepsi products for just a buck through the first intermission. And tonight, it's on. The Wenatchee Wild face the Trail Smoke Eaters tonight at 6 p.m. at Town Toyota Center. Doors open at 5, so come early, save big, and enjoy the coolest game in town. Buck up beer and dollar dogs. Tonight, go wild.
News Radio 560 KPQ, I'm Michael Knight. The show is called The Agenda. The candidate for the 8th Congressional District, Dino Rossi, is my guest today. Thank you so much for coming in. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
If you look back at how this race started, what do you think the concerns were that you had about running one more time? Did you say, I'm in, or did you think about it and say, maybe I'm not, maybe I shouldn't, maybe I must?
I thought about it. You know, this is one of those 23 seats that Hillary Clinton won that a Republican currently holds, and Nancy Pelosi thinks it's her pathway back to the speakership. Evidenced by the, you know, couple $1 million she spent attacking me so far. Kim Schreier, my opponent's biggest supporter, is Nancy Pelosi.
That's where all the money's coming from?
That's her DCCC is Nancy Pelosi.
Well, we got into that subject quickly. How did it turn out to be such a contentious, he said, she said, political campaign where other people, not yourself and not your opponent, are making comments on television every night?
It's every night. It's ridiculous. And it's just lie after lie. It's amazing. You know, they'll take a half-truth or a lie. And apparently, you know, things like seniors, that somehow when I wrote budgets that I passed in a bipartisan fashion through a Democrat-controlled House and Gary Locke signed into law, somehow I did something bad. When I was done with the session, AARP referred to me as a senior star. Now, I don't think that would have happened if something bad would have happened. Or the 45,000 kids that somehow got thrown off of health care. Well, when I was done, there were 25,000 more kids were projected to be covered, poor kids were projected to be covered. But the best part, the one I really like, was the part that I did it all so I could give people that belong to country clubs tax breaks on their dues. And I called my people out in Olympia. I said, I don't remember voting on something like that. And they did some research, and they found out, no, I never did vote on anything like that, number one. But the tax breaks for country club dues, it did pass in 1935.
That was a great year for country clubs.
Apparently. And 25 years before I was even born.
Well, you're laughing and you're a pleasurable guy and you have on your candidate's face, but when people say things about you on television every night that you say are not true, what kind of job are you after? What kind of people are you running with? What kind of industry is this?
You know, you have to persevere through these things, and it's not like I haven't been through this before. You know, this district's a good district. I mean, it's one of the best parts about the 8th Congressional District is nowhere near Seattle. And I appreciate that. This district,
you know, they can hear you over there. KPQ.
I could care less.
Okay.
And, you know, because they're actually what they're coming at, the western boundary is Lake Sammamish. It is nowhere near Seattle.
Right.
And so, but I was out, I've been outdoor billing. I've been going door to door for 5 months now. I'm over 7,000 houses. And I'm on my second pair of shoes. I've door billed in Wenatchee and Ellensburg and Kittitas, and I'm going to be in Intiat today, door billing and just going door to door. And, I encountered some door billers up in Sammamish and I on the other side for my opponent. And I asked, where are you from? And they said, oh, we're from Seattle. They're all coming out from Seattle to help. 18% of the 8th Congressional District is in eastern Washington. You folks control this election if you vote. We get our people out to vote, we win. We win, the likelihood of Nancy Pelosi being Speaker of the House again drops dramatically.
What about this idea of 40% is considered a good turnout? I know as a talk show host, it's easy for me to say, how come we can't get at least half the people in this nation to take part in the democracy that's so dear to them? And your answer to that is, why don't they vote?
You know, people have to be motivated to vote. That's part of our job, and part of our goal is to motivate them to vote. And, you know, you have a clear choice here. I have the most left-wing opponent I have ever had, and I ran against Patty Murray. That's kind of telling you something. She's never run for dog catcher before, but she's marching around protests in Seattle and parades in the district. And that kind of tells you when even the alternative left-wing newspaper in Seattle, The Stranger, wouldn't even endorse her in the primary because she was too far left for this district. That tells you something as well. She told Senator Warnock about 6 months ago, and she wrote a letter to the editor that to save the salmon, we got to take down the dams, completely not understanding what needs to be done in eastern Washington. You know, her one issue is a government takeover of health care. Government takeover of health care, even the left-wing think tanks say that, you know, we're talking about trillions, $32 trillion over 10 years. You'd have to double everybody's income taxes to pay for that, and it would destroy Medicare for seniors that we have now. So we're going to have a conversation about all those things. She wants to repeal the tax cuts. That's well over $3,300 per family in the 8th Congressional District. You know, supports a state income tax, wants a energy tax that's almost 43 cents a gallon and won't go to roads or congestion relief. I think out of step with the district. This is a good district for me because, you know, I've been endorsed by the Farm Bureau and every county and the State Farm Bureau and pretty much all of law enforcement as well. And most of the mayors, including the mayors in Wenatchee and East Wenatchee and, you know, Leavenworth and on and on. I've had great support throughout this, and we're just going to keep running like we're one vote behind.
With all that, is it a race? Are you just one vote behind or one vote ahead?
It is a race. It's going to be tight. It's going to be a tough year for the Republicans, why we got to get everybody to vote. That's really the key here.
And why is it a tough year for Republicans when the district is so traditionally Republican?
Yeah, the party out of power usually gains seats in this cycle. Our goal is to make sure that we buck that trend and make sure that we do everything we need to do to get our votes out.
Our special guest is Dino Rossi. We'll be back to ask him more questions on the agenda right after these words on News Radio 560 KPQ.
Hi, this is Russ McClellan with the Frontline Real Estate Team at Keller Williams.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
News Radio 560 KPQ, Michael Knight with The Agenda. My special guest, very special guest, is Dino Rossi. You've been outdoor belling. You said you're on your second pair of shoes. What do the people tell you on their doorstep that maybe you didn't know about the issues that we're facing in the district?
One of the major concerns is taxes, and taxes is incredibly important in this effort. You know, when I have an opponent that wants to repeal the tax cuts, what does that really mean?
What does it really mean?
Well, what it really means in the 8th Congressional District, just the median income family, it's $3,357 more in taxes. The state of Washington said because of the tax cuts that 20,000 new jobs were going to be created in the state of Washington. So apparently she doesn't want those to happen either. There's all sorts of companies that have grown and expanded because of these tax cuts, which is one of the reasons why unemployment is so low, because these companies have enough money to expand their business and grow their business, which means you have to hire people. You know, my whole goal is to make sure that the only people that don't have a job are people who don't want a job. That's really what should be the goal. Unfortunately, you're going to watch the economy grind to a halt if the other side takes over and they are successful with thwarting the efforts to reduce taxes and grow the economy.
So to the people on the doorstep, as you doorbell around the area, what do you tell them about taxes?
Well, I say, look, I'm as chairman of the Senate Ways and Means Committee, when I had the biggest deficit in state history when I was chairman. I had a one-vote Republican majority, six-vote Democrat majority in the House, and Gary Locke was governor. And I stood up in front of the Associated Press and said, we're not going to raise taxes because I believe it'll harm the economy and throw people out of work. And I'm going to protect the most vulnerable. In the end, that's exactly what I did, and I did it in a bipartisan fashion. And so I ended up receiving the first annual Defender of Liberty Award from the Freedom Foundation for being the architect, the most fiscally conservative budget ever written in this state, and I'm very proud of that. I also received the Senior Star. I was referred to as Senior Star by AARP, protecting funding for seniors, and six different awards from the developmentally disabled community for doing exactly what I said I would do by protecting their funding. I proved you could be fiscally conservative and still have a social conscience. It's not theory. It's not talk. I did it with reporters and TV cameras in my face.
Is it possible to protect the most vulnerable without funding it into the millions and millions? Because they remain the most vulnerable no matter what we do, it seems.
It is, actually. It is. And I did it under the most difficult of circumstances. But you also have to go and not just keep doing the same thing over and over again. I can't tell you how many people, when I was writing the budget, because I'm a businessman. I never thought I'd ever run for public office before. It's not even close. I'm the youngest of seven kids, grew up in, you know, on a school teacher's salary, and grew up drinking powdered milk and eating Hamburger Helper without the hamburger. Worked my way through college, and everybody says when I was at the School of Business in college, and I took one political science class in college. And
that was your mistake?
At the end of the first week, I hated it and I dropped it.
Really?
Oh, I told the professor, I grew up poor. I've already checked this box.
Back to the business department.
Right, exactly. As I did. I grew up poor. I didn't see how this would ever help me. And so, you know, this is really where, you know, I think the difference is I really come from a business background. I've spent 12 years now on the Dean's Advisory Board for the School of Business at Seattle University. I am a businessman. And so when I was writing budgets, I looked at it like a businessman would. I went through line by line by line by line, thousands of decisions to try to equal that deficit. And there are a lot of folks in Olympia who had been there forever, and they said, you know, we've never done it that way before. And I go, well, yeah, that's why we're in trouble, because you keep doing it the same way over and over.
Too many guys went to law school, not enough guys went to business school.
Yeah, I think that's part of the problem. There aren't that many of us that have signed the front side of a paycheck. You know, I started in the commercial real estate business, selling apartment buildings. I had $200, a $200 car, and a janitorial job at night scrubbing toilets.
There was a time when the $200 car would go quite a way.
Yeah, this one.
I'm afraid those days are behind us.
It was easy to push. And a year and a half later, in selling apartment buildings in Seattle, a year and a half later, I bought my first apartment building. And it's a good fortune I had in that business. It allowed me to be involved in public service. I ended up getting elected to the state Senate in my mid-30s. And, you know, I think I dropped the average age in the Senate to 70 when I got elected.
It was not your demographic.
No. But by year three, I was deputy leader of the Senate and the head budget writer for the Republicans. And so I have a feeling I can move through the process rapidly when I get back to D.C. I'm good at this.
But politics continues to be a business, if you want to call it that, that doesn't have the restraints on it that most businesses do. They spend money they don't have to do projects that nobody wants, to fund projects that no one's ever heard of with somebody else's money. Try that in business sometime.
Yeah, you go bankrupt.
And everybody that comes in the door's got their own plan.
Well, and they always think they can just come back to the well for more money. And, you know, when I got down to Olympia, I realized that if there was a dollar sitting on the table, someone figure out how to spend it and complain about not having a second one of your dollars. You know, part of my goal was to keep as many of your dollars in your pocket as I possibly could, because I have faith that you could spend it better than the government could. And so that's just how I looked at it. But that probably comes from my business background.
Special guest is Dino Rossi. He's running for the 8th Congressional District. I'm Michael Knight. This is The Agenda. We'll be back right after these words on News Radio 560 KPQ.
Or TheraWorksRelief.com.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
News Radio 560 KPQ is The Agenda. My very special guest is Dino Rossi. We're talking about his campaign against Kim Schreier, and it's turned into, I won't call it a dirty campaign, I'll just call it an interesting campaign where everybody's talking about the other candidate in negative terms. How did that start?
Well, actually, how it started was just after the primary. Nancy Pelosi is Kim Schar's biggest supporter in the DCCC, the Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee, where you're seeing in the mail and ads. That's who pays for it.
That's who's paying for all the television.
That's who's paying for all that.
Who's paying for yours?
What's that?
Who is paying
for... I'm paying for mine.
All of it.
I'm paying for mine. And then there's two outside groups that are also paying on the other side as well. It's, I have no control over.
Now, you didn't know that's the way it was going to go when you entered the race. When it started going down that road, were you pleased or displeased?
Yeah, I kind of figured they'd have to go negative because nobody knows my opponent, so they'd have to come negative after me. Nancy Pelosi spent more money on me than against me than any other candidate in America.
Are you vulnerable?
You know, actually, it's going to be a horse race here. It really will be. We have to get everybody out to vote. You know, and that's really the key. I've been going 10, 12 hours a day for over a year now. I'm leaving nothing to chance. Yeah, true. It's a district I've won three times now, twice against Christine Gregoire, one against Patty Murray, won it by over 10 points against the best they had with everything they had. But this is going to be a tough cycle.
And what has changed, do you think? I mean, a lot has changed in Washington. A lot has changed on the national scene. But how much has changed in Washington to make this such a different race?
Well, because it's the party out of power always gains seats in the House. And so that's really what's going on, is that they are party out of power gain seats, and we have to just get our people to vote. If our people vote, we win. Especially if folks that are listening to me right now, if you vote, we win.
Let's talk about this process where I'm running against you and I start running negative ads. Mm-hmm. Now, your ads are positive. Vote for Dino Rossi. I'm Dino Rossi and I approve this message.
Mm-hmm.
But money comes in from out of town, I won't say where because I don't know, and they start running a negative ad against your opponent.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever have the opportunity to get that money to run a positive ad about yourself?
You can't talk to them.
You can't talk to them
at
all?
No, it's not legal to say yes, no, or anything to them. You can't contact them. It's they're independent.
Did anybody tell you it was coming?
No, you can't know.
No notification?
No, they show up, you know. And
so you don't even get to see the spot before it runs?
Oh, no. No, I mean, as long as it's factual, that's fine, you know. And
do you think the spots for your side are factual? When I say spot, I mean television commercials.
Yeah, no, the thing, I guess part of what I've seen a couple. I haven't actually been watching a lot of television.
You're on a lot of my football games, Mr.
Right?
Rossi. Yes, indeed.
I haven't been watching a lot of television. So I don't know exactly what all the spots are. I do know, I've seen the ones that get against me get emailed to me in the morning by my staff when they see them. You know, and it's just one lie after another after another. And they really can't win this with the truth.
So what's the best way to respond to that in terms of history?
DinoRossi.com. Please go to DinoRossi.com and I actually do respond to it because there are TV ads. They usually send a corresponding mailer. So I look in the camera, I read the mailer, and I look in the camera and I answer. And I read another mailer and I answer. I think you enjoy it. It's pretty short. And if you could share it on Facebook or other places, I think over 18,000 people have viewed it so far, my response. And it's just a direct response to their false attacks.
Now, I may be naive, but when someone attacks me and all I do is respond with, here's the truth, is that enough? Or do you feel that you have to be negative in return? And I've never been through this, so I don't know what I would do.
Yeah, no. What we're going to do for my campaign is we're just going to compare and contrast what my opponent wants to do with what I want to do, and I think that's fair. You know, my opponent wants to raise your taxes in every way, shape, and form. My opponent says she wants to take down the dams in eastern Washington to save the salmon, even though 97% of the salmon make it through. You know, on and on and on. We're going to compare and contrast. You know, government takeover of health care, which will bankrupt America in the end, and greater Medicare as we know it today. You know, all these various things, and then also having the government pick your doctor and your hospital for you, that's just not acceptable. I don't want politicians or bureaucrats in D.C. deciding these things for me.
Is it that clear-cut? Can we rescue our own health plan from the hands of the government?
Oh, I think we can, and part of it is to actually bring competition in, you know, competition where people can buy across state lines, you know, reduce the mandates, and then you decide what's in your plan, I'll decide what's in mine. I want as many health insurance companies chasing you around for your business as we can possibly get. You know, one of the things, getting back to the tax cuts that my opponent wants to repeal, is that Primaris said they were going to have to pull out of smaller counties, rural counties, if they didn't have that tax cut. So if that gets repealed, there's going to be some smaller counties that aren't going to have any health insurance available to them.
When you run to go to Washington, do you have to accept the baggage, whatever party you're in, of what's already going on in Washington?
You know, I don't know if you really have to accept it. The way I look at this, I mean, the secret to my success in Olympia is I really never cared if I got reelected, honestly.
You have to be fearless, right?
Yeah, you do. And, you know, when I stood up and made the announcement at the Associated Press Forum that I wasn't going to raise taxes, I'm going to protect the vulnerable, you know, even my chief of staff, nonpartisan chief of staff, says, boy, Senator, I hope you don't have any illusions saying that stuff you're talking about is going to pass. That's my chief of staff. I said, no, have faith. I said, and I told the caucus, I said, just file in behind me. I'll take the arrows. That's fine. You know, the worst case scenario for me is I go back to my wonderful life. You know, and I'm good at this, and I'm good at bringing people together because I did everything I did in a bipartisan fashion. You know, I sponsored putting sexual predators who prey on children away forever. And I sponsored that bill, which is one of the reasons why almost all of law enforcement has endorsed me in this race. You know, there's a lot of other things, but everything I did in a bipartisan fashion. I brought the Republicans together. I brought some moderate Democrats with me. I brought the Republicans together, bring some moderate Democrats with me.
That's your record in Olympia, and it's one of bipartisanship in some instances. What about Washington? It's a little, I won't say it's an entirely different game, but everyone's hackles are up all day long.
Yeah, I know. It really is. It is difficult. And luckily, it's going to be a large freshman class. I'm hoping. I'm a glass half full guy. I hope we can change some of that. I was reappointed to the state senate again last year because my senator had passed away, and there's really only a couple of us alive that have written the state budget, so it's the second time I've been reappointed to the state senate, put forward by the Republican precinct committee officers, and unanimously put back in the state senate by the Democrat-controlled King County Council. And, you know, they've worked with me. That's been the big difference, since my opponent is really more about protesting, which is what she's done in Seattle with all her signs and her protests and the like. It comes from this resist/indivisible group. And I think we have enough people yelling at each other in politics without adding another one. I was very successful in business and in politics and in life by not yelling at people. There's no way you can work across party lines by yelling at somebody. It doesn't work with your kids. It doesn't work with your neighbors, and it certainly doesn't work in politics.
When you run for office, is it helpful if you put aside your idealism now again, or do you let it be your leading factor in every decision you make?
You know, what I've done, and, you know, maybe I approach this differently because I come from a businessman's point of view. I just tell people what I'm going to do. I'm going to go do it. If I get thrown out of office for doing what I said I was going to do, it's not a job I want anyway.
But this is a job you want.
This is a job I want, and I'm going to tell people what I'm going to do. And, you know, and the idea of making America a place where the only people that don't have a job are people that don't want a job, you know, and the formula is not that complicated. What you need is that you need modest taxation, fair and predictable regulations with the rule of law, no lying, cheating, stealing, and you let entrepreneurs go be entrepreneurs. And guess what? We have full employment. We have opportunity for everybody. Everybody has a chance to advance, get that better job if they want it, or start a business of their own. That is what I want to see happen. That's part of what my agenda is, and that's what I'm going to work towards.
If the farmers in the more rural areas of the district told you anything about tariffs, are they for it, against it, unknown? Can they figure out what their product is going to be like next year?
It's true, yeah. No, you know, even my opponent was, you know, when she didn't get endorsed by the left-wing paper in Seattle, the Stranger, he said, boy, you know, I have a lot to learn. I don't know anything about agriculture and immigration and on and on and on. And, you know, the tariffs, I've been very clear. I don't see how anybody wins a trade war, number one. But and I see what direction we're heading. It was a tough apple season this year and wasn't as robust as one would hope. And so they were hoping to make it up with cherries. A lot of my supporters were. And they sell at a higher price than in China. And so that direction wasn't going to work well, so they'd have to go to domestic market, which they wouldn't get as much money for. And, you know, as I talked to some of these, my supporters who are in the agricultural business, they're very concerned as well. You think about this district, it has everything from apples to airplanes, right? So you need
to. Sounds like Washington, doesn't it?
It does. And that's the 8th congressional district. It really is. You know, it's half rural, half suburban, which is perfect for me because when I represented most of, everything from the Burger King in Issaquah to Kittitas County and from Redmond to Black Diamond and Enumclaw, it was half suburban, half rural. This is just a blown-up version of what I've represented before. You know, and for me, one of the best parts on a personal side, you know, my grandparents came to Washington State about the turn of the last century. My grandpa was a coal miner and worked in the coal mines in Black Diamond, Washington. If you right in the heart of the district, you go in the basement of the museum, my grandpa's two-man saws up on the wall. Why did Silvino and Concetta Rossi come to America? Why? Well, they came to America because they believed that America could be a better place for themselves, their children, and their grandchildren. Because in America, you could rise to any level that your talent and work ethic will take you. There's no guarantee of success in America, but you have a shot at it. That's what's slipping away. That's what we have to preserve. And in the end, I think Silvino and Concetta were right because the grandson of that Black Diamond coal miner has a chance to represent in the United States Congress the very same area where he worked in those coal mines.
You think about them a lot?
I do. I do. You think about perseverance when they came here through Ellis Island and worked their way across America and didn't really speak the language well or at all. Working for $2.50 a day in the coal mines to try to make a better place. I do. And how thankful I am that, you know, they didn't stay in Italy. Why they came here. You know, I met the mayor in the hometown where my grandfather was from. He said if Silvino had stayed in Toronto, Polignia, he could have worked for the guy that owned the sheep, and that was about it. And I think there's a lot of people listening to us right now that their family stories are probably similar to this.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Now, that dream that your grandparents had, it's part of the American story, isn't it?
It is.
It's part of the theme that we all have, which is if you work and you work hard, the chances are not even, but you're still in the game. You have an opportunity if you keep working hard. Do a lot of people still believe that when you talk to them on the doorstep? Do they have that faith in America still?
They do. And when I talk to people, especially when I talk to groups, and I talk about that peace, that, you know, that spirit that brought our families here, they identify with that. They get it. They know I get it too. And that's something that has to be preserved. That entrepreneurial spirit, that willingness to work really hard to get ahead and provide for your family. Those are things that we can't let slip away.
The last question we ask all the candidates is for you, sir, now to ask the people listening for their vote.
Boy, I'd be honored to have your vote again. You voted for me before. I'm still the same person. I would be honored to have your vote again. Please go to DinoRossi.com and volunteer. We need your help.
That's the voice of Dino Rossi, candidate for the 8th Congressional District. Thanks so much for being in the studio today. We appreciate your time so much.
Thank you for having me.
Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ. And